Good morning, Marbley family, and welcome to Jumping Into the Word of God. Isn't it refreshing to know that we've already been talking to God and God's Spirit has already been communing with us through what we're saying to Him and through reading His Word? And this morning, I'm going to invite you to read His Word with me or follow along with me as I read from the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. But before we get to that point, I thought I would just check up on you. How's it going with those New Year's resolutions? Thought I'd ask. We're 2 weeks into that, you know. I read the other day that 8% of America keeps their resolutions. That's kind of depressing, to be honest with you. 8%. So if you're still keeping yours, you're well ahead of the curve. Something else I read that was quite interesting is it said that 60% of New Year's resolutions are involved with, have something to do with habits, personal hygiene habits or health. That may be true in your life. Maybe it's about eating better or exercise or, you know, whatever the case may be. 60%, so the majority of the resolutions we make have something to do with a personal habit or hygiene, something like that. I thought that was interesting, especially in light of the story I heard that 1 year a lady, let's just call her Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith was so happy with her New Year's resolutions, one particular, because she had bragged to one of her friends that she said, I've cured my husband's habit of biting his nails. And so her friend said, after all these years, what? You got to be kidding. What's the secret? What did you do? What's going on? And she said, I hide his teeth. If you need help with that one afterward, please email Greg and we'll help you with understanding that one. So I want to talk today about spiritual hygiene, all right? I want to talk about some habits in our life that are valuable, much more valuable than some of the struggles that we have with when it comes to just maybe physical hygiene or what have you. But as Christians, you would say, well, at the top of the list, Pastor, it's got to be, I want to learn the Bible better this year. I want to witness better this year. I want to spend more time in prayer this year. I mean, those kind of things are always up there as far as trying to get better, the habits that we have. Have you ever noticed, though, it's a whole lot easier to start a bad habit than a new habit? I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. I ran across this great statement. Lloyd Corey has a book of collections of quotes. I loved what he said. He said, the chains of a habit are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. We want to get to the point that our spiritual habits, our good habits, are so strong they cannot be broken. On a bad day, they cannot be broken. So certainly on a good day, they're not going to be broken. You say, well, Pastor, you've already made me feel bad. I was going to read the Bible every day this year, and I've already forgotten a day, and I feel like this small now. And listen, I don't want to make you feel bad. I don't want to reduce, for that matter, I don't want to reduce Christianity to this legalistic expectation that it is just this list of things that we do, and we feel better about ourselves. We pat ourselves on the back because we're reading, and we're praying, and we could check that off the list, and what have you. The Christian life is so much more than just a matter of your will and your validity. It's about what you love and who you love and what you take delight in and what tastes good to your spiritual senses. Psalm 37:4, we quote this quite often, but the Bible says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Now, I believe that means that he implants within us certain spiritual desires, for example, to be closer to the Lord. And then he fulfills those in accordance with how willing we are to be alone with him and to delight in him. And you say, Pastor, you've already lost me. I don't know how to delight in the Lord. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you've been a part of church your entire life. And so you talk about the joy of the Lord or delighting in the Lord and you just kind of go, I don't get that. I just do. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I do these things. And then the delight is kind of foreign to you. Well, I would tell you two things. Number one, pray for new taste buds on the tongue of your heart. Taste buds. In other words, desires, good spiritual desires. Number two, kind of like what we tell our kids, you'll never like something new until you try it. So if you've never read the Bible every day, you can say all day long, well, I'm just not going to like it. I don't understand it. Well, if you've never done it, if you've never tasted broccoli, some of you are like, you just compared broccoli to the Bible. But you know what I'm saying. If you don't try it, You're not going to like it. So you got to say, okay, all right, I'm going to do something different to acquire this craving for something fresh from God's words every day. Moses, one of the great heroes of our faith, Moses acquired a new taste. The taste buds of his heart were invigorated on Mount Sinai, on this alone time with God. And it wasn't something new for him. In fact, he had climbed Mount Sinai before, but Mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, is on the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. This is the mountain where God repeatedly appeared to Moses. It's where he authored the Ten Commandments, and we know so much about his time alone with the Lord there. But this particular high point in this series that we're looking at teaches us the importance of not just having God's word, and we're grateful for his word, for the Ten Commandments, for the law, but for honoring God's word. In other words, what is his word going to accomplish in our life? How are we going to let that really set us free, if you will? What are we going to do in our life to honor God's word? Well, look with me in Exodus chapter 34. We've already, by this point in the book of Exodus, we've already seen the Ten Commandments, but there's a backstory that I want you to see, more importantly, in Exodus chapter 34. So if you will, if you're able to do so, I sure would invite you to stand to your feet. If you're watching online, I'd love for you to prioritize the word of God with us in some way. In Exodus 34, let's just begin in verse 4. Watch this story unfold. Moses cut two stone tablets like the first ones. We've already had kind of a deja vu moment here, and I'll explain that in a minute. He got up early in the morning. Isn't that a great way to start a message on devotions? And taking the two stone tablets in his hand, he climbed Mount Sinai just as the Lord had commanded him. The Lord came down in a cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, listen to this message, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Watch this response. Moses immediately knelt low on the ground and worshiped. Then he said, my Lord, if I have indeed found favor with you, my Lord, please go with us, even though this is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our iniquity and our sin and accept us as your own possession. And the Lord responded, look, I'm making a covenant. I will perform wonders in the presence of all your people that have never been done in the whole earth or in any nation. All the people you live among will see the Lord's work, for what I'm doing with you is awe-inspiring. Move with me toward the end of the chapter, verse 27. Let's pick it up there. The Lord also said to Moses, write down these words, for I have made a covenant with you and with Israel based on these words. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat food or drink water. He wrote the Ten Commandments, the words of the covenant on the tablets. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to him. Spirit of God, please speak to us as well here today. Reign here. Control the words spoken. The attitudes with which our ear canals open all the way to our heart to hear from you. In Jesus' name, we'll honor you. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. This is pretty amazing. Watch this. The same God who met Moses on Mount Sinai wants to meet with you every day. The same God who spoke the words of life that we hold in our hand wants to speak words of life to you today. Knowing this, knowing that God desires to meet with you and to meet with me on that mountain, so to speak, to be figurative, if we will, several things have got to take place. Number one, I must be willing to work. It's not just going to happen overnight. I've got to be willing to work. Now, let me caution right away. I'm not talking about working for your salvation or working for God to love you. What I'm just talking about is building good habits. It takes work to build good habits. Isn't that correct? So let's think about what's going on here. Moses, by the way, he's 80 years of age. We're not spring chickens, okay? 80 years of age. Watch this. This is pretty simple. This is how I read the Bible. Words just kind of come to me in little cute phrases to remember. All right, here's my three C's for this. He had to climb, cut, and carry. Simple, but watch, all right? He had to climb up this mountain. Again, by the way, it's not the first time he's done this. 80 years. I've already said that. 80 years of age. He's been traveling the desert for like 3 months, all right? So let's tack that on board. He had to cut 2 stone tablets. Why? Well, because he has an anger issue and he kind of broke the other ones, all right? So God's already dealt with him on that and now he's having to do the work. And, I read that and it's kind of like, it reminds me of when this may be very politically incorrect, but I'm just going to say it. So when I was little and I would do something wrong that required a spanking, can I get an amen on spankings? I'm just saying. See, I told you I was politically incorrect, but all right, watch this. So We lived in South Florida, citrus trees everywhere, no pine trees. I didn't know what a pine tree was, all right? So citrus trees everywhere, and my father would say, son, go get a switch. It was never go get a switch for your sister. It was for me, all right? So I'd go out and get a switch, take like an hour and a half. I mean, I was praying about it, you know, whatever. I was dilly-dallying around, you know? And it always kind of, when I read this text, and God says, Moses, you cut these 2 stone tablets. He already did it once. God had done it. This time, he's like, Moses, you do it. You broke the other one, son. I don't know why that image always in my mind when I read this text. So I just invited you into my little personal time. But that's what I see going on, all right? So he climbs the mountain. He cuts out this 2 stone tablets because he broke the other one. And then he's got to carry them all the way up there. Why in the world did God make you do that? Why didn't he just say, when you get up there, will be some stone tablets? He had to carry those 2 stone tablets up the mountain that he's traveled before. Now, I don't know if you catch this, but if you've ever climbed or hiked or walked a rugged walk carrying extra weights, you know how quickly that wears you out. Isn't that right? I don't mean we ate too much. I mean carrying something, okay? So I remember this a number of years ago. We were up in Arkansas camping with our family and some friends, and we found a nice little mountain. We thought, hey, let's go hike that mountain. I think our youngest son, Colt, was maybe 3-4 years of age, and he got tired real quick, of course, and so the 4 adults, Angie, me, and then this other couple that was with us, we just kind of rotated carrying him up the mountain because he, you know, got tired. And I remember thinking after like 10 feet carrying him, good grief, that extra few pounds sure adds a lot of extra weight. And can you imagine Moses is climbing this mountain? Did I tell you he's 80 years of age, okay? So all of us here are like, well, it's my time to sit back and relax. Oh, there's a whole sermon there, okay? So he's climbed, he's cut it, and he's carrying it up there. You know how hard it is to do the right thing? Boy, there's a whole sermon right there, Andy. I'm just like, that is there, but that's not the point of the sermon. It is hard to create new good habits in our life, but it takes no work at all to have a bad habit. I mean, let's think about the bad habit of the person sitting next to you. Because I know you don't want to talk about your bad habits, you know, and you don't have any, right? So, but let's think about that just for a minute. Don't look at them. They already feel guilty, all right? But so it takes no work to have a bad habit. Isn't that right? I mean, those who have the issue of texting and driving or not even looking when you're driving or whatever else that you do wrong, not putting your seatbelt on. It takes no work to have a bad habit. If you don't believe me, you might need to be a part of our Celebrate Recovery ministry. We'll talk a lot about habits because they become a part of your life. Well, good habits need to be a part of your life too, but it takes work to establish those. And if you're serious about spending time alone with God every day, you've got to be willing to work at it. Now, regardless of where you are with your relationship with the Lord, I'm sure you'd agree with me that there's still room for improvement. Is that correct? Still room for improvement. Every one of our lives, no matter where we stand with the Lord, there's still room for improvement. So there's no greater tool for you to grow in the Lord than daily Bible reading. There's a lot of great tools out there to help you grow in the Lord. No greater tool than this right here, the Word of God. daily Bible reading. That's why I mentioned last week to you, I don't mean to be self-promoting in whatever way, just wanted to give you this resource at my blog, glenstone.org. You got to go check it out. And the last two posts have been about spending time with the Lord. In fact, this week I asked Paul, our teaching pastor, to write a blog specifically about Bible reading plans, because we get a lot of questions about, well, is there a good plan to read the Bible? And there's not a right or wrong in there. Just get in there and read, all right? But there's some great practical help for how you can read the Bible. You say, well, you know, I don't know. It's just such a big book. I'll never get through it. Did you know if you read the Bible for 45 minutes a day, every day, average American reading time, you could read the Bible through twice in a year. 45 minutes a day. You say, well, I don't read that fast or whatever. You know, I read across the other day a statistic. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it said that 24% of Christians say that they never read the Bible. A fourth of Christians admit to never reading the Bible. And yet here we are with the Bible in more languages and in more places than we've ever had. What's our reasoning? Well, I think there's some struggles with daily quiet time. And let me just touch on those real quick. I call them the four common problems of having a quiet time. Watch this. There's the battle of the blankets. You know what I mean? Get out of bed is what I'm talking about, especially on mornings like this, right? So cozy and toasty warm, right? So it's just called the battle of the blankets. What I'm talking about is discipline. You got to have some discipline in your life, isn't that right? I love verse 4. It said he got up early. Did you catch that? I'm not even preaching that, but that's good stuff right there. The battle of the blahs. That's like dry spells. We all have dry spells. If you don't believe me, you just start reading from start to finish, Genesis to Revelation, and about, Leviticus. You're going to have some blahs. You don't believe me? By the time you get to those begats, you know, he and he and he and he and he and yeah, you're going to have some of that. But keep going. Hey, listen, I have some blahs about going to work. I know I'm the pastor. I'm not supposed to say that. But work, school, we have it, right? But we keep going. We don't just go, well, I just can't go anymore. Keep going. All right, it takes work. There's the battle of the brain. You know what that is? It's our ADD culture. It's called distractions. We can't help it. We're just like bouncing around. And then there's the battle of busyness. I mean, frankly, we just get so busy. I love the way verse 5 and 6, did you catch this? You know, when you're discouraged and you feel bad, you haven't been alone with Jesus the way you need to. Look at the way God starts his conversation with Moses. The Lord is compassionate. What a great word. You may feel really low today. And maybe today your thought is, you know, if I start this quiet time, first thing God's going to tell me is, where in the world have you been? What are you doing? It's about time. That's not what he did with Moses. He said, the Lord is a compassionate God. It's the same word for me, same word to you. Isn't that a great way to begin your time? Just knowing the Lord is full of compassion. You say, well, Pastor, I really don't read real well. I don't know how to read fast or whatever. You know, what do I do? You know, if you listened to the Bible being read, aloud, you could do that through YouVersion. You can do that a lot of different ways. It would only take about 76 hours from start to finish to listen to the whole Bible. Let's divide that into the number of days in our year, 365. You know what you'd have? 12 and a half minutes a day. You mean to tell me you don't have 12 and a half minutes a day to know God's plan for your life? 12 and a half minutes a day. Now, let me leave you a little caution here. Reading the Bible all the way through, or keeping every law in the Bible does not save you. Do you understand that? Please hear me on that. It's a great habit. It's a necessary habit, but it does not save you. The Bible is a revealer of your sin, not a remover of your sin. Only Jesus can remove your sin. Can I get an amen to that, all right? So it's a relationship with Jesus that prompts me to want to hear from him. And again, I remind you of something I said a long time ago, relationships that work take work. So are you willing to work at growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18? Number two, I must be willing to worship. I'm sure you caught this in verse 8 and 9, but look at the way that Moses responds to God's great revelation. I thought this was interesting. As I'm walking through this text, I really want to talk about what God said, but we're observing on this High Point series what Moses did. Not to take away from what God said, and you can't talk enough about that, but I really don't want to miss what God did. In fact, Jesus prayed in John 17, he records for us, sanctify them, God's word is truth. God's desire for you is that you would hear and respond. So I want us to look at this response of worship. That's natural, by the way. If you've heard God speak into your heart, the natural, if you're a follower of Christ, the natural response is to do what Moses did, and that is to worship God. In fact, one of the things that we're working through as a staff even now is how we can make the most of worshiping God on the heels of responding to what God has done in our life and spoken into our heart, as opposed to just putting a little period on it, closing the Bible and walking out the door and go, well, it's a good day to be in church. But rather have this cognitive, volitional response that not only, Lord, did I hear you, but I've been changed by what you have just said to me. Notice how he responds, verse 8 and 9. Three things, I couldn't help but notice this. Watch this. His posture, it says he immediately knelt low. The heart of worship is surrender. We've said that a million times. The heart of worship is surrender. In other words, the more you see the truth of God, the more you're going to see the truth of you. And when you see that in contrast to who God is, you're going to have two options. You're going to bow up or you're going to bow down. There's no middle ground. You understand that? The more you see who you are in relation to who God is, you're either going to bow up to that or you're going to bow down before him. That is surrender. Notice his posture. Notice the end of verse 8, his praise. It says he worshiped God. Isn't it interesting that when you're having your daily quiet time with the Lord, if you get in a hurry, what's the part of it that gets cut out? Well, we've got prayer, we've got Bible, and we've got worship. Well, worship gets cut out. I mean, most of us, if we're out of time, what do we say? Well, I can pray on the way to school. Well, you need to. Have you seen the drivers around here in East Texas? I mean, you need to be praying in the car. I get that, all right? I can get a Bible verse texted to me. Yep, you sure can. You can get the verse of the day. You can, I get it, okay? But what gets cut out? It's isolated time with God called worship. And please watch this. If we're not worshipers personally, then when we come together like this right here, we're not going to be a church that worships God. In fact, men, I'm just going to take this as a commercial opportunity to tell you. In 2 weeks, all right, January 27th on a Saturday night, real men worship. Now, some of you are like, you don't want to hear me. God is going to hear you, okay? So it's not about you and me hearing one another, but it's a great, great evening we're going to have together, just men. Myself, Pastor Tim, Charles Billingsley, we're going to talk about it. We're going to have a great teaching on it, and then we're going to do it. We're going to worship God. Now, don't worry, church family, everybody else, families included, Sunday night will be a night of worship together as the family of God. You don't want to miss that. Great opportunity to worship God, all right? So his posture, his praise, then look at verse 9, his plea. What does he pray? He prays three things. He says, go with us, forgive us, and accept us. Did you catch that? If you've ever wondered what you're supposed to say to God, and you start off your prayer life and you say, well, I don't even know what I'm supposed to talk about. I tell you what, you don't know what to pray? You pray verse 9. I mean, look at this. He prays for God's presence, God's pardon, and God's possession. He says, God, please go with us. I know we don't deserve that. Please forgive us. I know we don't deserve that. And use us. We'd be well to pray that same thing today, wouldn't we? Great, great formula for prayer, all right? Third thing, we've got to be willing to write it down. Go on down with me to verse 27. I read it a moment ago, but God speaks, and then he says to Moses, write it down. Why? Because it matters. Well, why are you, some of you right now, you're taking notes. Why are you taking notes? Because it matters, right? Some of you are like, no, just to stay awake. Well, that's great. Good. Keep taking notes. That's wonderful. Get the person next to you to take notes. I mean, what, you know, why do we write things down? So that we don't forget them. What's the statement? The faintest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory? Something like that. He says here in verse 27, write it down. You ever been out to eat and the waiter or the waitress doesn't write down your order? Now, if you're a waiter or waitress, I'm going to offend you right now. I'm just going to tell you, okay? But I was one, so I think I can do this. Okay, but watch this. If you've ever been in a restaurant where the server doesn't write down your order, this is what goes through in my mind, all right? So I know I have issues. Here's one of them. And so when somebody looks at me and says, what would you like to eat? And they don't have anything to write on, I say, would you like a pen? You know why? I don't want my order wrong. If I order a taco, I don't want a hamburger, right? Okay, so when they say to me, no, I'm good. And then they go around the little table. What would you like? What would you like? What would you? It impresses everybody else, not me. It's a test now. It's a game is what it is. Because if he or she comes back to the table with everything except one item, I'll leave a big tip. Don't worry. But I'm just telling you, it's a game. Don't mess around with my order. You track anybody else with me on that one? I'm just saying, okay? All right, now watch this. Watch this. It's not a game when God gives an order. Write it down. In fact, you'll never find somebody in all of church history who God used in a mighty way who didn't also have the habit of journaling. This is nothing new. Remember what God told Habakkuk toward the end of the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible records for us, it says, the Lord gave me this answer. Habakkuk and God were going back and forth, if you know the story, and he says, write down clearly on clay tablets what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance, so that you know it was me who said that to you. If it's important, write it down. It'll remind you of what you said to God and what God has said to you. Fourth thing. I must be willing to wait. Look at verse 28. It says here that he waited 40 days and nights. No eating. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. Are you willing to wait 4 minutes for God to speak to you? That's huge, isn't it? I mean, we probably should have the invitation right now because most of us don't wait. We don't wait. We don't want to wait. And I don't mean daydreaming wait. I mean waiting with confident expectancy. The Bible records in Psalm 37, verse 7, be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for him. He says he will speak. We know he will speak. We've heard him speak. We've got to wait. In fact, in 2 weeks, we're also going to start a 21-day time of prayer and fasting for us as a church here at Moberly. I think it's a great way for us to begin the year. By spending 3 weeks together in prayer and fasting. You say, well, Pastor, what's coming? Well, I don't know. That's what God has for us. But we're just going to commit together to pray for three things. Number one, ourselves. We need prayer. Our church needs prayer. And our country. We're going to pray together for 21 days. And I'm going to ask you to fast in whatever way God will lead you to do that. But we'll talk about that in the days to come. But you can sign up even next week to receive these daily texts every day. Here's the three things we're going to pray for. Here's a Bible verse that goes with them, and we'll all be on the same page together for God to do a great work. Would we wait 21 days for God to do something powerful in our lives, in our church, or in our country? I know you believe that all three of those desperately need God. I need God. Our church needs God, and our country needs God. You say, well, Pastor, it's just that I don't have that much time to wait. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong. Let your heart be courageous, wait for the Lord. You know, if you're watching online right now, you can relate to this probably better than maybe some of us, but if you're listening to a song online or watching a movie or something like that, young people, you probably don't know this existed, but years ago when those of us who are old were learning how to do things online, we had to dial up. Anybody remember that? Foreign. Anyway, so we would have this thing called buffering. You remember that? I hate buffering. You know, you know what it means? Wait. That's what it means. I just think I don't like it. I don't like buffering. I don't like waiting. But you know what? Despite how much I don't like to wait, you know what we need in our life? We need some more buffering. Because no matter how much you try to get rid of waiting in your life is filled with waiting. Red lights, doctor's offices, waiting on somebody to call you back. I mean, we are filled with waiting, and we get all this impatience when we go to God and we treat God like the rest of our culture. And if you're in a hurry, you're not going to hear God speak. Ian Bounds put it this way. He said, hurry is the death of prayer. We don't give God enough time to speak to us. And if you're going to hear God speak, you got to get alone with God. You got to wait. Now, I'm going to warn you here. You better be ready for interruptions. Because we are in this constant information age. And so what happens is we'll start the morning and we'll say, Lord, I just want to be alone with you. We're not really awake yet. And so the Lord has our full attention, which just means we're not awake enough to think about anything else. And then all of a sudden, we kind of get awake and we start thinking about this plethora of problems that we've got to do today, and we stray from God's word. Here's a simple, simple tool. This is called a post-it note. Keep a pad of post-it notes by your Bible and a pen. And when your head starts spinning with all the things you got to do, this is old school for some of us because you're like, well, I'll just put it on my phone. That's a distraction. You can't look at your phone without seeing a million other things. It's called paper. It's old school. It's almost as old as a tablet. Take it out. Write it down. Set it down. Get back with God. It's that simple. All right? It's worked for me for years, and I struggle with ADD as bad as probably anybody else. All right? So write it down and then get back with God. Finally, I must be willing to witness. What good would it be for God to do a wonderful, fresh work in your heart and you to keep it to yourself? What good does that accomplish? Wouldn't God want us to be able to share that with others? Well, that's exactly what takes place in the last portion of the text that we just read a moment ago. In fact, look what happens. His face, Moses' face is different because he's been with God. The people are scared because he looks different. And Moses then shares what God had said. Now, let's take these real quick, one at a time. Today, none of us probably exhibit a glowing face like Moses did. We would do well if we did. Even the apostles, it was said of them, they'd been with Jesus. You could see that. So you say, well, Pastor, I don't think that really happens anymore. Well, God promises that it will happen to the extent that you spend time in his word. If you don't believe me, write down this verse. Write down this verse. Did you catch that? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this. The Bible says, as all of us reflect the Lord's glory with faces that are not covered with veils, we are being changed into his image with ever increasing glory. God expects you to look different after you've been with him. You can't fake that. Now, you know what happens? Is the more you and I are with God, when life is falling apart around us and people are freaking out and getting scared and all that, and you're not, there's a difference. But of course, that's a great time to talk about Jesus, isn't it? I saw this happen yesterday from afar. How many of you noticed this, the missile alert that took place in Hawaii yesterday, by the way? We've got a couple of church plants in Hawaii, and it was interesting to watch their interaction just online. But what was taking place is apparently somebody hit a button they weren't supposed to hit. Not the one that sends something, but the one that says something's coming, all right? So I don't know. This is very lay person. I don't know anything about this. All I know is what I saw in the news. Somebody hit a warning button, and so all of Hawaii or all of this island thought that a missile was coming at them for 30-plus minutes. Can you imagine? You can't do anything about it. It's just coming. What an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Am I right? I mean, that's, hello. I mean, hell, right there. Why? Because they don't know God, but they're about to meet God. There's an opportunity to speak. I tell you what, when people are frightened, it's a great time to talk about God. Don't shy away from that. Be willing to witness right there. And, you know, when you encounter the glory of God personally and you experience the grace of God, you can't help but then explain the gospel. Because no matter any other explanation you give, it's just not going to be correct. It's got to be the gospel of Jesus. So when you reflect him, you're going to represent him at the same way. Here's a very simple question. Do you know how to use this tool? It's called the Bible. Do you know how to use it? When you're talking to somebody else? You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know the Bible like you. I'm no preacher. I didn't say that. Do you know how to use the Word of God? That's simple. This is the greatest tool we've got. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think I really do. Well, I'll tell you what. We have a great thing here called Engage. It's a wonderful opportunity to learn how to just take some very simple, simple scripture verses that are very clear and how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you missed that this week, you can jump on, Greg, right, this Wednesday night. I know we already started, but it was just one class. You can jump in. You're a fast learner. This Wednesday night, jump in Engage 201. You'll see the other Engage opportunities as well. If you're watching online, please contact us or in Marshall. We'd love to help you with that too. You got to learn how to share what God has done in your life. In fact, earlier this week, I had the opportunity to walk through a track with somebody, a gospel track. You know what those are, right? Gospel tracks. We use them here in our church. And so I didn't have anything else with me. And so I had a gospel track, walked through it with some folks, and it was a great opportunity to share my testimony through this track. Did you catch what happened in this text? I read it a moment ago. I think it's verse 29. And it said he came down with these tablets of testimony. I love this. This was like the first original gospel track. It just weighed 50 pounds. But I mean, that you talk about a track. I mean, let me beat you over the head with the Bible. That has a whole different connotation, doesn't it? So he has this tablet of testimony that he's going to share about Jesus. I guess the final question is, are you ready to share? Are you ready to share what God's doing in your life? We share posts all the time online. Are you ready to share the greatest message of all? I want to be. At the drop of a hat, when God says go, I want to go. When God says speak, I want to speak. This year, my word, I'm not really into the resolution thing right now, and I have this one word idea. Maybe that's where you are. And so my word this year, I feel like God really gave to me at the end of last year, was ready. That's my word. I'm not telling that for you. This is just me, all right? So God said, ready. Are you ready? He said, ready for what? I don't know. All he told me was, and we have a need-to-know relationship basis, so what I need to know, he'll tell me. And I just want to be ready. But it made sense to me because this is kind of where I live right now. We live in basketball world in our family right now. That's just kind of who we are. One, I love the sport. Two, we have three boys who, well, they like the sport too, and they're all playing basketball. And so I get to be involved in their lives and help coach and things like that. And so I'm busy coaching basketball, just, you know, because I love it, and I love hanging out with my kids. And so one of the things we're trying to teach, especially the younger ages, is just the basics of basketball, all right? So watch this. This is pretty cool. I call it ready position. People, other coaches may call it the triple threat. You can call it whatever you want. But the bottom line is, here's the ready position. There's three parts of being ready position in basketball. This is the ready position. That's it. Did you catch that? I mean, it's powerful. It'll win games. All right, here's the deal. Three things. Number one, notice this. My face is up. We're going to start our Spanish ministry starting tomorrow. In fact, lift up your eyes. It's a great call to prayer. But that's what I'm talking about right now is I tell our players all the time, you can't do this without running into somebody, right? Lift up your eyes. Look up, right? Do you not see the spiritual connection here, people? I mean, this is not hard, all right? Look up. God's at work. Get your eyes up. Ready position, right? Now notice this part of my body. Ready position. If I need to pass, I can pass. If I need to shoot, I can shoot. Well, it's on my strong side. That's the way I shoot, all right? So I'm ready. What if I don't have the ball? Ready position. It's the same thing. Why? Because have you ever been hit upside the head with a basketball? I mean, listen, if you're on my team and you're playing basketball like this, you're going to sit the bench. Because you and I are both going to be in trouble when you get a bloody nose because the ball hits you upside the face. All right? Well, if God's ever told you to do something and you go, well, Lord, I'd love to, but I'm still in my PJs. Get ready. If God's going to tell you to do something, get ready. Hands up. You're ready. Okay? And then watch this. Ready position. Did you catch this part right here? My knees are bent. Okay, you know this will preach, right, Johnny? I mean, you know where I'm going with this, right? Our knees are bent, church. You're never going to lose your footing when you're on your knees. Get on your face before God and say, I'm ready, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You say, well, Glenn, what if God calls me to do something that I don't think I'm ready for? He'll only call you to do something he's equipped you to do. So get past yourself and get ready. What's it going to take this year? You say, well, Pastor, I've already messed up. I stopped reading the Bible. That was my New Year's resolution. I messed up. What did Moses say? Please forgive us. Just ask God to forgive you and get back in line, all right? Get along with God. Maybe this morning, maybe you're one of those folks who just want to grow in Jesus by yourself. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches.
The Bible teaches we're supposed to be part of a family of God and we grow together and you help me grow in Jesus and I help you grow in Jesus and we're a family and that's why we have connect groups so we grow together, we talk about it, we dialogue about it and we grow together. So this morning, even during invitation, I'm just going to ask you, if you need to make a decision today, maybe the decision's simple. I need to be a part of this church family. I need to join this church. You say, well, I don't believe in joining. Well, you've joined every other club and every other rewards thing in this world. Why wouldn't we join the family of God? Maybe this morning it's just a simple commitment on your knees before God to bow down before him. I'm going to ask our pastors and ministers to join me here at the front. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you today that you have spoken. We thank you today that you desire to speak. Father, I pray that we would be positioned to respond. And Father, that means that we need to be ready spiritually, physically, financially. God, there's a lot of things that maybe need to get in line. Maybe it's a simple commitment like Moses to get alone with you, God. Maybe it's we've got to climb that mountain. We've got to get over some struggles that we have just to prioritize being alone with you, Jesus. So God, I know there may be a host of spiritual decisions we need to make, some public and maybe some very private, but Father, I pray today that we would make them pleasing to you because God, we want to meet you on that mountain too. In Jesus' name, amen.